Okay, I think all of us are connected. So good morning and welcome to Grenergy's 9 months 2025 results presentation. I am Rubén Gómez, Head of Investor Relations. The presentation is going to be led by David Ruiz, our Chairman and CEO, Daniel Lozano, our Chief of Strategy and Capital Markets Officer, and Rocío Fernández, Head of Sustainability Department. They are going to take you through our business, financial, and sustainability review. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session for sell-side analysts. Please remind you to ask just one question per participant, please. Okay, David, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Rubén, and good morning, everyone. And let's start, as always, with the main highlights of our 9 months this year, 2025 results. On the slide number three, and well, I'm just going to focus on the main messages, right? Business highlights. First of all, we don't stop on asset rotation, right? That's very important. We keep not only on track, but I think we are definitely over-delivering. We are now more than 55% on our target. José Cabrera and Tabernas, we will see the capital gains. We finally executed the deal in Q4 in October. So this is not in these accounts, will be next quarter with capital gains of €25 million. And well, we're really happy, really on track and exceeding our expectations, right, in terms of the returns we are making on each transaction. Another very important point is our tolling agreements, PPA, new PPAs. You know, these are complex negotiations, right? They need time. All with investment grade means large organizations are counterparts. So they take time, but once again, we have to say we're very close of announcing new deals in mainly tolling agreements for our Greenbox platform in Germany, Spain, plenty of new PPAs coming from Chile, some from Peru, and our first PPAs in the U.S. And I'm very sure we will spend a lot of time in the next presentation in February explaining all the new deals that we will be announcing in the next few weeks. Talking about operational highlights, well, we are also very on track, 2.1 gigawatt of solar and 5.5 gigawatt hours of BESS in operation and under construction. And at the end of this year, we will be very close to reach 7 gigawatt hours of BESS connected. This is very remarkable. Once again, this is close. In terms of gigawatt hours, it's close to all installations in the UK combined. And UK is the most mature market for BESS in Europe. So it's, you know, I think it's something we are very, very proud of, what we're achieving in Oasis of Atacama. Our pipeline, I think it's a very amazing figure, 75 gigawatt hours. We will give more details now. It's more or less 50-50, 50% standalone, 50% hybrid plants. And well, one of the most important messages of this presentation is that out of these 75 gigawatt hours, 8 gigawatt are having upgraded to advanced development in the main markets, in six markets, European markets that comprise the Greenbox platform. So we will make an effort to give more details on the platform in the next slides. Well, let's not forget, it's not here, but we're still a solar company. We have close to 12 gigawatt hours of solar. Most of these plants are already hybrid. And well, again, we are living a completely new reality with a massive introduction of BESS in our markets in both formats, whether it's standalone or whether it's hybridization with PV. Very proud of our roadmap of ESG. Rocío will give you many more details, right, later on the presentation. And financial highlights, I will leave this to Daniel, but it's, I think, a very impressive set of results. We are really on track. New CapEx, 300 million in the quarter. We are above 700 millions of new CapEx. That's means we are going to be close or even a little bit more than 1 billion for all the year. So it means we are really on track for one of the main KPIs that we outlined in our Capital Markets Day, that we were about to invest 3.5 billion in the period from 2025 to 2027. So I think considering it's only the first year, we are really on track. Net debt, Daniel will give you a lot more details. I think it's well below the sector, the industry average. Well, moving to slide four, this is just the default picture of a platform overview for our hybrid, BESS, and standalone. And we'll give a lot more details in the next slides, but I think it's worth highlighting that there has been like a sharp increase in hybrid solar plants in Chile and Peru. And we strongly believe that there is a great cycle coming up in Chile with data centers, mining, new government. So we believe we need to have the right stuff 3, 4, 2, 3, 4 years from now. So it means a great greenfield effort now on our side, right? So you will see a sharp increase in new developments in early stage and identified opportunities in these markets. And in Europe, once again, the fast evolution of the standalone pipeline from early stage to advanced development. And well, as you see in the right-hand side in the maps, you can see that in Europe, we are betting a lot more for standalone plants in comprising our Greenbox platform. Whereas in LATAM, mainly in Chile, we are betting a lot more in hybridization, right? So the BESS is, we are talking about BESS in both cases, but in one market, we're focusing a lot more in hybrid plants, and in Europe, we are focusing a lot more in standalone plants. Moving to slide six, again, very happy to get more details in the Q&A in any particular market. But well, again, like every quarter, we give a lot of information about the situation of our pipeline, whether it's solar, whether it's hybrid, and well, in moving to the next slide, Oasis of Atacama, we show here, and it's already becoming a classic in our presentation, right? The evolution of our Oasis of Atacama platform, then Central Oasis platform, and the platform in Spain, which for the moment is just Escuderos. We believe there are great opportunities for hybrid plants in Spain as well. So now we're talking about hybrid plants. Talking about Oasis of Atacama, well, as you know, the total platform is 2,000 megawatts, 11 gigawatt hours, right? Overall, we are executing really well. We are very happy above expectations. Out of the 11 gigawatt hours, we have already at the end of this year executed close to 7, which is, I think, very remarkable. And we are normally doing it a few weeks and sometimes a few months ahead of what we are saying. Quillagua 1 and 2 is fully operational now. It's out of the pipeline. It's been completely delivered to KKR and it's performing really well. Víctor Jara is phase 3. It's now already connected. And also is working pretty well now at full speed. It will be completely delivered to KKR before the end of the year. And Gabriela is stage 4. Mechanical completion is completed, right? And we are ready to start injecting energy in early January and COD at the end of Q1, latest April. So you know this plant, we will transfer this plant to CDC. Once it's fully operational COD, we're estimating this to happen latest in April, May next year. All the revenues belong to us until that moment. Elena 1, which is 3 gigawatt hours in point of interconnection. This is the single largest plant in all the Americas in one single location, right? It was Moss Landing in California before, but now it's Elena. That's also all the battery packs are on site, and we're estimating also to start in storing energy in early January. So all in all, we are very, very happy with the performance of the platform. We are about to start construction of Antofagasta and the second phase of Elena, second or third quarter of next year. Moving to well, you know, we give plenty of highlights of all the main milestones. Again, very happy to a lot of things are happening: financial closings, M&A, execution. So very, very happy to get in more details in the Q&A. Moving to Central Oasis, you know that the size of the plant is 1 gigawatt, 4 gigawatt hours. We are now very close to. You know, the Grande Matamangon Planchón, this will be one single financial close. I think it might be announced even before the end of the year. We will be executing at full speed during 2026, right? So these plants will be operational, I think, before 2026 ends, right? Then next step, next one will be Monte Águila. Monte Águila will have a similar approach with PPAs than Grande Matamangon Planchón. I think it's next in the roadmap of financial closings, so we might even mandate very soon. We are estimating to get the financial closing at the end of Q1. We in any case, we have already ordered trackers and we have started some preliminary works on site. So that's the situation of Central Oasis. Moving to Escuderos, it's our first large hybrid plant in Spain. And, well, I think will be the starting point, really flagship for us. It will be one of the first large hybrid plants hybridated in Spain. So as early as July, August next year, we should be storing already energy from the first phase of Escuderos, right? And, we are also in negotiation for hybrid PPAs. Or as an alternative with tolling agreements for the BESS. Remember, we have an existing PPA with GALP for the solar energy, but this is fully compatible with a tolling agreement. So it's something, because it's a financial PPA, and it's something that can coexist with a tolling agreement. The moment we have something close, we'll let you know. Moving to Greenbox, and I think it's important we spend more time explaining you our strategy for every market. On slide number 13, well, here the main message, we know as we already advanced, we are moving quite fast in the six markets, right? Italy, Spain, Italy, UK, Poland, Germany, and Romania. And, well, I think time to market is very important. So, we are exploring all opportunities to move as fast as possible, right? In the next slides, we are diving more in detail on Greenbox. And on each of the six European markets, we try to give more information, right? Our estimations on each market, potential for BESS, the pipeline we have, and well, the main dynamics of each market, upcoming auctions, capacity payments, government plans. You know, for every market, basically, it's going to be revenue stacks are going to be coming mainly from energy trading, ancillary services, and capacity market. If there is a capacity market in place, like is the case of Italy, as we can see in this slide, and the UK, they already have existing capacity market mechanism. But Spain has for a very long time announced, I think finally we will see the capacity auction in Spain in the first quarter of next year. And we believe, and all the market, all the industry believes that Germany will have a similar mechanism. But anyway, the IRRs we are giving in Spain and Germany are not considering any revenues coming from capacity payments. So whatever we get there will be an upside and will increase our IRRs. I think once again, we are given here the number. You know, in Spain, we have Oviedo project. We will see in another slide that we will start construction very soon. I think as early as January in next year, and we will mechanical completion will be completed in October, November 2026, and hopefully the plant will be fully operational at the end of the year. So this is really our flagship standalone project in the Greenbox platform, but we are working in many other projects. We are also looking at many buy-side opportunities in all the six markets where we are, mainly in Spain, Germany, and I would say Italy. We are analyzing some MACSE granted projects to mix them with. We are looking at opportunities in Germany. I think we will announce some buy-side deals in Spain. Again, we will do the best we can to accelerate the story. I'm very happy to speak in more details about any of the markets. Just this before I hand over to Daniel, this last slide, we try to summarize a quick review of the latest of the last deals we've closed and how successfully we are executing the roadmap. We are basically executing what we outlined in the Capital Markets Day, but I think with higher returns than expected. Remember, in Capital Markets Day, we estimated an average of 1.3 times enterprise value invested capital. And well, we are now reaching 1.6 on average. So we just executed the deal in October of the transfer of close to 300 megawatts in Spain to Allianz for 273 million. You know, Gabriela, we announced this deal also very recently that will get executed in April, May, latest next year, which is a COD deal. And well, the deals you know very well of Quillagua and Víctor Jara that we keep executing, right? And it still has a strong impact in our P&L during this year and even next year with their earnouts. Again, the main message is right now with the equity proceeds we are getting, we're exceeding 55% of our asset rotation targets. We might expect to see new deals coming from now mainly non-strategic assets like PMGDs in Chile or distribution assets in Colombia. So we might see some M&A coming very soon from these fronts. So thank you very much. I turn now the call to Daniel for the financial review. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Let's take a look at the company operational performance. That again are excellent results. We will keep with this trend in coming periods. So first of all, in the key operating data, there is a decrease in total installed capacity by 4% because of the explained asset rotation in Chile. You will see that the gross addition in megawatt hour now is 2.5 gigawatt hour that will be moved to close to 8 gigawatt hour by year end, thanks to Víctor Jara and Elena that will be there. Then regarding production, there is an increase of 32%, mainly driven by the Chilean asset, but as well Escuderos, and there was some contribution from Tabernas and José Cabreras that were sold in Q4. We expect a positive EBITDA contribution and net debt reduction in that period. Then contracted volumes increased by 55% and represented 88% of our total electricity production. That is, here we have a conservative approach to the energy save we have. Then realized price decreased slightly to 43 euros per megawatt hour from 44 euros megawatt hour, impacted by Forex dollar euro difference. On the right hand side, you can see a summary of the key financial KPIs, which we will review in coming slides. Then moving to net slide. Total revenue September 2025 amounted to 687 million, representing an impressive increase of plus 147% year on year. And this growth was largely fueled by M&A transaction and as well the energy production we had. GR Power Division showed an increase of 103% driven by organic growth. And finally, services increased by 20%. The asset rotation we are having are also producing operation and maintenance and contracts to the place we are selling the asset. So this is also moving up. Then the EBITDA for 9 months, 2025, was 111 million, representing 2 times the amount we had last year, and was mainly boosted by M&A activity. Remember that in Q4, we are going to have around 75 million euros impact coming from the deal we have just closed with Allianz regarding Tabernas and Jose Cabrera. Then moving to the next slide, CAPEX. This is impressive. We are doing 713 million euros in 9 months. And this is driven by the, as you can see, Oasis of Atacama, some project that has been sold, an hybrid project that we are building for ourselves, Elena. The remaining CAPEX is invested mainly in project in Spain, like Ayora, and there was another 28 million coming from development initiative in our three regions where we are creating pipeline. Then in slide 20, again, we ended with a very solid cash position of 346 million euros. Even though we had our record CAPEX figure till now of 713 million, that is the main outflow in the cash flow. Then there has been some financial cost and taxes, 40 million, change in working capital, 34, an impact of Forex of around 45 million. Financial debt was mainly project financing coming from the announced project financing of Elena and rest of hybrid asset in Chile, and other debt is referring to vendor financing related to the acquisition of Elena to Repsol and Iberéolica. So we ended with a very solid cash position that will allow us to keep investing during coming periods. Then moving to next slide, leverage and liquidity. Our net debt stood at 1.047 billion because of the CapEx increase that we had. However, our net debt to EBITDA stood at a level of 4.9 times and corporate 1.4 times. If we include the two projects, José Cabrera Taberna already delivered, pending proceeds from Oasis of Atacama, and the last announcement we had about the sale of phase four, Gabriela, net debt will stand at 322 million. And on pro forma basis, this ratio will drop to 0.7, and corporate even positive to minus 0.5 time. This shows how quickly we can reduce this ratio after asset rotation, and that we keep self-financing growth by doing that. And that's all for my side. Now, Rocío is going to explain the main messages about sustainability.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. I invite you all to follow the details of the progress in sustainability matters during the third quarter of 2025. We are immersed in the second phase of the ESG Roadmap 2024-2026, and I am pleased to announce the important goal that we successfully accomplished in this quarter. The Climate Transition Plan, with the climate change dimension, was updated and approved by the Management Committee. This plan, now considering our business model of PV plus BESS, includes several decarbonization actions to be implemented in all our projects and offices, and what's more, details the inversion needs in accordance with the requirements of the CCRD. Apart from that, do not forget some other achievements during the past quarters, such as the elaboration of the climate change and biodiversity policies, as well as the corporate social management plan. Moving on to the next slide, regarding our position in ESG ratings, I would like to remark the fact that Grenergy keeps on leading the ESG performance according to the most prestigious ESG ratings. During I would like to remark the fact that Grenergy keeps on leading the ESG performance according to the most prestigious ESG ratings. During the third quarter of 2025, some scores were updated, providing us with better results than our peers and also than ourselves last year, which is the case of EFI Finance. Also remember the greatest scores that we got this year in S&P and Sustainalytics, updated in the past quarters. Sustainalytics keep on considering us in its low-risk area, and S&P recognize us as the top 16% global in the electric utility sector, above sector average. Moreover, we were listed in the IBEX ESG Index, and we got an I- in CDP Supplier Engagement Assessment. Last but not least, just mention some other ratings, such as CDP Climate and MSCI, that have not been updated yet, so we will give you further information about them at the end of the year. So that concludes my update. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much, Rocío. We are now moving to the Q&A session. Please, if you have any question, raise your hand. Okay, first question from Fernando García, RBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I think that you can listen to me. Thank you for the presentation and for taking my questions. So, David, it looks like with the three gigawatt-hour of Elena will contribute significantly to most of 2026 results. So could you provide us with an estimate of this asset's contribution to its first year of operation in terms of revenues and EBITDA, along with the main assumptions behind these numbers? And linked to that question, could you remind us in terms of asset rotation gains that have already been committed for 2026. And joining the two answers, I would like to follow up. Current consensus for 2026 for EBITDA stands at around 240 million euros. Based on potential asset rotations in 2026 already committed, plus the operating performance of the company, it is safe to say that this figure is achievable even before including any additional asset rotation gain. Many thanks.
One second, because we are going to unmute David.
Okay. Is it good now?
Yes.
All right. No, perfect. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Fernando. Thanks again for your questions. You know, we don't give guidance year after year. I leave that maybe to Daniel. We've given guidance for the 3 years, but anyway, I can give you some information about Elena. Elena is a game changing plant for us. Obviously, let's keep in mind that the EBITDA we can get from this plant is maybe close to 2 times what we are currently getting from all the legacy projects, right? So it's a completely different asset, right? We might estimate, considering we from January, let's say from February, we may be able to transfer 1.1 gigawatts of energy from day to night. And now we are expecting to charge the batteries using energy that is currently in most of the months of the year. It's a zero level. So we are curtailed in that part, that the moment when there are more batteries, this will eventually change. But I think from 2026, we will be charging at very low prices, and we will deliver in the energy in 70s, 80s, or even 90s, right? So we see like plus capacity payments, right? I think we can see EBITDA between 70, 80, even close to 90 for 2026, right? From we will be full merchant 2026, and then we are securing PPAs from second semester of 2027. So we will refinance, we will build the remaining PV. And I think this plan from 2028 will be a different animal, where we will charge and we will be delivering both solar and now there is only an existing 77 megawatts plan. So that's the case for Elena. And we are very excited. We are really reinforcing our energy management team now in Chile, because it's, you know, after all, from February, we are handling the largest battery in the Americas. So we need to be ready, right? Because every day accounts, right? And I think they're also promising ancillary services markets in Chile that are only starting. If we manage to get there earlier first, we can get very interesting upsides, right? And like ancillary services, frequency regulation, the new markets that we are going to be able to approach with batteries in Chile. And about the total figure for 2026, I think the estimations you are giving above 200 are, in a sense, correct, because only considering our new energy EBITDA, with Elena and the legacy projects, we're going to have four months of Gabriela revenues and other plants that are getting operational at the end of the year. So I think the EBITDA of our energy division will be maybe, you know, 3 times bigger than 2025. Plus the build-to-sell activity that for sure we already have in second quarter, Gabriela, that I think it's going to be still get to be close, but 120, 130. This is just from Gabriela, and we might expect other M&A activity. So I think your estimations are correct. We will try our best to over deliver. Yeah.
Many thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, next question from Anna, UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hi, Anna.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Two from me. Can I ask you firstly on, you've moved this almost 8 gigawatt hours of standalone BESS into advanced development, and you give quite a helpful indication of the returns by country, but a decent proportion of this is in Poland and Romania, where you haven't given any guidance on returns. So is there anything you can kind of say as what you expect there? Is it better or worse than some of the other countries, or kind of in line with the, I guess, 8 to 12 is kind of the broad range for the others? That's the first question. And then secondly, can you give a bit more detail on the developments in the US? I know this kind of at the time of the CMD was still a bit of a question mark, but you've moved quite a substantial number of the projects into the backlog, and you've got the first kind of trial standalone projects under construction already. So can you talk about how the market's developing there and why you've kind of, or how you've been able to progress those projects, I guess maybe a little bit more quickly than we expected. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Anna, for your questions. The six markets where we are for the moment considering for a green box platform, we are in different. We have always said that. Well, obviously, we are starting in Spain, where we have it's a local market. We have plenty of visibility. We are about to start. I think in the next call, we already Oviedo plant will be under construction, so that's a very important milestone for us. And I think many more standalone plants will come in Spain. We have outlined here in the presentation in Germany the most advanced projects that we have developed in house, like you will see these three projects: Renton, Sammern, and Klein. But we are looking at buy-side opportunities very actively, right? So I think it's, and again, it's Spain and Germany, in, it's complex negotiations again, but we are in a very, very advanced stage. So I think we will announce, first tolling agreements, definitely before next call, but I believe that some of them even before, the end of the year, right? We are currently advancing into negotiations in Spain and in 2-3 in Germany. So we have plenty of visibility on the IRRs, most of the inputs, and we are very confident in giving these IRRs. Moving to UK and Italy, we are in a different stage, but well, the UK market's very mature. There's very important auction for capacity in first quarter that we will participate with several projects. So this will give us visibility on this input, right? But it's not enough in the UK. You need to combine many other revenue stacks. And I think we are working on it, but we are confident given this. We're talking about project IRRs in any case. Maybe the UK will be the lowest, the market with the lowest IRR, but still we see a consistent 8-9% considering our CapEx levels, right? And in Italy, again, we are looking our, we are advancing. We have plenty of projects coming up to advance development in, during 2026. Most of our portfolio will be ready to be at the end of 2026. So we expect Italy to be a very active market from 2026 onwards, right? And I think we are looking at Italy more through tolling agreements than through MACSE awarded projects, right? The reason we are not giving an IRR for Poland and Romania are the less mature projects, less mature markets, sorry. And we want to make sure we have all the inputs before we give you an estimate for the IRR. In Romania, we're expecting a higher, should be double digit, or we will not go ahead in Romania. I mean, it's, we see that this market has a higher risk than the others. Poland is a very stable market, even if it's not in euros. So, at the end of the year, there's this option for capacity payment. I think it's on the 5th of December. And then there is also the CAPEX plan that we have submitted some plans. So I think considering these two inputs plus some tolling agreements, conversations we are having, in some cases in euros, in some cases in zlotys. But I think in the next call, we might be able to give a guidance of IRR in Poland. In Romania, I think it's a more, I don't want to say exotic, but we need to make very, very sure before we give an IRR, and definitely needs to be double digit. Yeah. About the US, we've been working very hard the last year. You know, it's been kind of a roller coaster, right? The US market. I don't think it's been that bad at all at the end. I mean, we have been able to safe harbor all our portfolio, all our projects. And we have moved the first three projects to backlog, meaning that we are ready to invest these projects. I think these projects will be executed starting second semester of 2026 and mainly 2028. So whenever we give the guidance for 2028, I think the US will be an important. And in particular, we have moved to backlog three projects, Beaver Creek, Shubura, and Creek. Yeah. And in Beaver Creek and Shubura, we already signed PPAs agreements. In most cases, they still are pending approval. In one case by Mississippi Public Service Commission and Georgia Public Service. But all in all, they're effective, completely binding PPAs. And, well, we are very, optimistic now with the US market. If you had asked me like a few months ago, I would say but I think the projects are safe harbor. I think we can approach 40% ITC levels. And well, the market is very active, but we want to make sure we do things right in the US. I mean, we rather prefer to go step by step. And whenever we have more information, we will. Right now we are securing, we're closing the mandate in the banks. For the tax credit, we are also for the construction loans. We are closing all the we've closed already trafos and inverters for the safe harboring, and we are also closing the EPC agreements. That in this case we're working with external counterparts. We also decided to execute two small distribution projects in the US. It's been just a couple of months and we have successfully executed. I think those projects will be placed in service before the end of the year. But altogether, each project is only 25 megawatt hours. And I think total CapEx is around 15 million US. But it was very important for us to develop construction capabilities, transferability for tax equity. And that's it. Those projects will be initially merchant, and eventually we will move them to a tolling agreement.
Okay. Next question from Bank of America. Alex Alessandre, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the question. A couple ones from me, please. The first one is just on the phasing of PPAs and also tolling agreements. So you're very confident about signing some tolling agreement in Germany and Spain before year end or in the next few weeks, which, you know, a few weeks might be actually, you know, into next year more than year end. So just wanted some clarification on that. And are you thinking about tolling agreements? Because, you know, maybe on Oviedo, we can have one, you know, before year end, but then moving into 2026, perhaps for your wider platform, are you thinking about tolling agreement being project specific or being platform specific? I mean, are you thinking about something perhaps wider with a partner across Europe or across an entire country, across many countries? So interesting in that idea. The second one about PPA and, you know, in particular, you know, the LNR phasing, I think, you know, perhaps a year or so ago would be thinking about, you know, trying to close, you know, PPA quite early and then executing with a very de-risked profile. Are you delaying or perhaps having those PPAs being signed later than, you know, COD, a function of the market being not necessarily the right one right now to sign PPAs, not getting the right prices in Chile? Or are you thinking that, you know, the opportunities are so great right now in the market that you'd rather be merchant and earn a lot right now and then, you know, secure a PPA and perhaps like an asset sale later on? And then the third one, it's not going to surprise you that I need to ask something about data center because everyone is talking about it. I cannot make but notice that I haven't seen a slide about data center in your presentation. So any kind of assets, you know, I think in Spain that we can think of, I suppose, you know, there are some market expectation that you could have, you know, similar grid consumption, you know, self-right consumption in Spain as some other player at least, or if you're already working on the pipeline there. Are you thinking more about partnering? Are you thinking about selling energy? Are you thinking about, you know, power and sale? Any kind of color on that would be super helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alexander. Gracias. Okay. Try to be very specific. Your first question is about PPAs and telling, well, first of all, we love announcing deals as early as possible, right? But normally on the other side of the table, we have larger investment grade organizations that they need to go through many committees. And, you know, we only announce one deal whenever it's fully executed and whenever it's binding. So I don't know. I still believe we are 27th of November. I still believe that we might announce something before the end of the year, right? Like, because, you know, there are one or two deals that are really, really in the final execution phase. If it's not at the end of the year, will be definitely before next call in February, right? But I think it's the more important thing is that we get the right tolling agreements, the right PPAs, because, you know, a bad PPA, bad executed PPA, it's not an easy thing to deal with, right? And according to our experience. So we want to make very, very, very sure. And we've been closing PPAs for more than 10 years now. And we want to make sure we make as few mistakes as possible, right? About the approach, you are right. Greenbox, you might think more as a platform tolling agreement. So we might reach an agreement between us and the taker, right? And we have some flexibility on the projects, right? So I don't know. I can give you an example. In Germany, we might close a tolling agreement for 500 megawatts, 4 hours. And then we can nominate some projects, but we are always going to have the flexibility to change if there's any issue or any delay with one of the projects. We can exchange and use another projects because normally the off-taker doesn't really care about any specific project. They do care about us delivering what we have promised in the deadline, right? So it will be more a platform approach, and I think we'll do the same for financing. We will not approach the financing project by project, but as a package, right? Maybe country by country. And even with South takers, we are talking now for different markets. It's the case of Germany and Spain. At least two of the large off takers we are working with, we are talking, having conversations in the two markets, Spain and Germany now. About PPAs in Chile. I think we will also announce several PPAs before the end of the year or less the next few weeks as well. And many of these PPAs will relate to Elena and to Algarrobal. Okay. And then we are very confident. We believe there's an upside being merchant for the first year. But we also believe that keep in mind that some of these PPAs are getting close to our retail unit. And then there will be a PPA between a retail unit, GeoPower, and Elena eventually, right? Together with other external PPAs. Elena is quite a large project. So when we approach the refinance of this project, we have 3 years to do it, but I think we will do it earlier. we will, I think we'll put together a large PPA with our retail unit that is already closing PPAs with Delivery and Elena, plus external PPAs investment grade as we have done. So we are working on it. We are very confident. We are closing smaller PPAs with our retail unit. And I think whenever we close something larger, we will make it public. And again, as I said in the presentation, I think every we will spend a lot of time explaining the new PPAs coming from Chile, and the new which will be mostly for hybrid plant, and the new PPAs coming from our green box platform, and mostly tolling agreements in Europe. Data centers, you know, we have been working 5 years in storage, and we only announced to the market our strategy 2 years ago in our first capital markets day. So it doesn't mean that we are not into data centers. We see great opportunity in data centers, but we like to keep it more quiet, and we will include some slides on data centers eventually at one point. But I think Chile is a fantastic place for data centers, right? And it's less mature than other markets like Spain. And I think there's a great opportunity for data centers in co-locations, you said, both in Santiago, and I think the real deal might be the north of Chile, where you get the most competitive energy in the world, right? And 24/7 energy for $40 or even more than $40, you can do self-consumption. And I think it's a fantastic place. And there are many services that AI needs that they can be located in remote areas, not just training AI, but many other services. So I think we're working on it. Whenever we have more visibility, we will give you more information. Right? I also have to say that countries like Spain, I see kind of a bubble in data centers, right? I don't think, you know, there may be 14,000-15,000 gigawatts of data centers applied, and I don't think it's going to happen, really. Maybe maximum 4,000-5,000 till from here till 2032. So we also see some bubbles in some particular markets, right? That's my point of view.
Okay, thank you very much. Please, I remind you to ask just one question per participant, if you don't mind, okay? Next question from JB Capital. Nacho, please go ahead.
Hi, David, Daniel, thank you for the presentation and for taking my questions. I was wondering on the platform upgrade on Greenbox, okay? What drove you to upgrade the platform materially, no? So what are like the, let's say, tangible points or the performance that you've seen in the last couple of months that led you to increase this number? And still here in Greenbox, okay, I'm looking at the returns that you are seeing or expecting in Spain, which are well above all of the other geographies. So I'm wondering why there are not more projects in this country. Is there anything that's preventing you from developing more projects in Spain, either in permitting or you're just waiting to have a better view on regulation? And just a quick question regarding CapEx, okay? I haven't seen any slide on the presentation on the evolution of CapEx, so if you could give us a quick update on where you're seeing now the prices for storage. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, moving to the I mean, why are you can see more advanced development projects? Well, it's a natural way of things. We always say that you know, and where in countries like Spain, you needed like 4 or 5 years from identify opportunity to advanced development. I think invest is a faster period of time. Anyway, in some cases, we've been working 3 years, like Italy and for the projects that are advanced development now. What does it really mean, advanced development? Just to make it simple, you basically need to make sure you have the grid. You know, that's normally the most difficult thing. You've got land, secure, lean, and you want to make sure you have no issues with environment and communities. So basically, we are very demanding. And it's something that a project that is advanced development is a project that will get to ready to build in the next 12 months, right? So this is when we can take a decision of moving that project to backlog, right? We move one project to backlog whenever we are fully sure that we can execute this project. And I think we are given a 90% probability, but traditionally it's been more than that. But in very, very few projects that we've moved to backlog, it hasn't happened, right? So why no more in Spain? Well, we love to have more projects. Look at the early stage and identified opportunities figure, and they're more. This is in megawatt hours, so you have to divide by four in if you want to look at megawatts. This is everything we could grab in Spain. We roughly got 1.3 gigawatts of standalone projects in Spain so far. Eight gigawatts have been granted for standalone projects, and we've got a good share, I think around 15%. But keep in mind that the problem in Spain is that most areas, most nodes were completely saturated. So we had to apply in very specific regions like Asturias or the islands or some parts of Catalonia and Basque Country or Galicia where there was some capacity, right? And that's the reason we are looking, but we are very active in the buy side. So I think we will announce some, new, I don't think we'll make a press release for every project we buy, but you will see more in advanced development and next person, and maybe it will be from third parties. In fact, if you look at the Oviedo project, it's 150. We originally had only 100. We purchased 50 from another developer next door, and we're negotiating some extra 100 and another one. So we try to create those clusters in the places where we are working. Yeah. And the CapEx, your last question about CapEx, I think remains stable right now. I think it remains stable. It's not slightly going up, but I want to think that it remains stable. We saw very sharp decreases. I think we see a stable price, but at the same time, there are gains of efficiency announced mainly from CATL and BYD. And I believe that eventually 2026 will be a pretty stable year. And from 2027, my expectation is the prices of BEV will go down again. That's my expectation, right? You never know. It's a supply and demand market. Now demand is way higher, right, in many markets, but production capacity is huge. And I think we're very, very surprised about how fast, especially the main players, mainly CATL and BYD, are announcing new, you know, we are using now containers for 6.5 megawatt hour per container, where only when we were starting Oasis of Atacama, it was only four. So in a matter of 24 months, 50% more efficiency. And that's, we're very surprised about that. It never happened that fast in solar. It took pretty longer to do these gains of efficiency.
Okay. Next question from Mediobanca. Beatrice, please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have a more general question, let's say, or follow up if you want. on CapEx and standalone. I was wondering, well, looking at the European markets and particularly on the level of prices, no, was wondering what level of CapEx flexibility does the company have if somehow standalone project returns came out not satisfactory? So in other words, to what extent is the company prepared to adjust or eventually slow down investments to maintain return discipline and reallocate capital toward possibly initiatives with more attractive risk return profiles? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beatrice. I think it's a very interesting question now. It's we do have plenty of flexibility, and I think considering how fast this is happening and the how BESS is transforming the industry at such a pace, and now everybody's recognizing that we're in a completely new scenario, I think we need to remain flexible because things are changing a lot from one market to another. We want to make sure we have the right menu so we can pick up the right capital allocation. And it's great that we have plenty of options, right? But I would say that for us, hybrid plants in Chile, it's one market by itself. It's the most important market. It's the market where everything has happened earlier than others, right? It will not remain forever at this speed, but again, in Chile, we are becoming a utility and we have other sources of revenues. So that's going to remain a very important market for us. Then we have Spain, where we believe that there is very good opportunity for hybrid plants. There's a business case and we're working very hard. Our first one will be Escuderos, but if numbers work, we will try to buy more projects and to hybridize, same as we have done in Chile with Elena. Yeah. And then we've got six markets for Greenbox. We might eventually include some other market in the future, but for the moment, I think we are fine. And, we believe that considering our pipeline and the tolling agreements negotiations in Spain and Germany, we get better returns now and quicker. The UK is more mature, but I think now numbers are working again with the lower capex capacity options, plus all the other revenues you can make from the battery, especially considering we are reaching a pretty low capex, maybe £100,000 all included. So that's really a new scenario compared to previous best projects in the UK. So we are very flexible. We want to make sure we get the right returns, and we can update our strategy or adjust our strategy pretty easily, right? So flexibility, I think, is the key right now. And a company like ours, even if we get bigger, we need to make sure we remain flexible, because I think it's one of our key advantages.
I would like to add, Beatrice, that we are not going to invest just for investing more. Investment allocation is a key element for us. We have very good returns in all the markets where we are in Europe. We are now double-digit returns. It's more than what you need, and the cost of capital is lower. But 100% investment allocation will look for just a profitable project, and we are going to just invest on that.
Okay, next question from Odo. Anis, please go ahead. We're unmuting, Anis.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, no, perfect.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for taking my question.
Okay, you may take two. No problem.
Okay, thank you. So first one on Greenbox, could you explain the main drivers behind the lower best IRRs you are seeing in expecting in Italy? And also, could you give us some details about the nature of takers you are discussing with? And second one is on US. I have just a follow-up question. What makes you now more optimistic on the US market? Is it related to good level of prices we are seeing in the US and high demand from data centers that could compensate for tariffs, which heavily impact CapEx? So thank you.
Thank you, Anis, for your two questions. Well, we give in IRR, we're talking about project IRRs. We give like a wide margin, and that changes with time. And in Italy, we are waiting most of our pipeline to be ready to build at the end of 2026, and it's quite a lot. Most of the pipeline now is still in early stage. Some have been moved to advanced development. We are getting ready for it. Italy has been more a maxi or auction-driven market, mainly based on, well, maxi is kind of a tolling, but given by Terna. There's some upside. We saw the results of the auction, and well, the returns were not as high as some expected, right, or previous auctions. It also depends a lot on each one's CapEx, right? We I think keeping a very competitive CapEx is now the key, yeah, because the market is getting more mature. In Italy, we are getting also mainly for northern projects in the north, several tolling agreements, and very similar to the approach we will do in Spain. And from that, we get this range of IRR between 9 and 11. Whereas in Spain it's above 12%, but it's also that, we're considering a slightly higher interconnection and CapEx cost in Italy compared to Spain. We've been slightly more conservative there, so that might explain a little bit because the tolling and the hedge agreements we are getting for both Italy and Spain for standalone projects are pretty similar in the same range. Yeah, we're also analyzing some MACSE awarded projects in the market, but that's like a separate range. Some projects from developers that got the MACSE agreement in the auction that happened last month, and that's what we are given nearly this range. Yeah. The UK is more mature. Some people would say, no, we're looking at IRRs of 6%, 5%, where we are more optimistic. It all depends on what you definitely need capacity payments to make it happen in the UK. It's not like Spain and Germany, what we are considering as an upside. In the UK, we do need it. And you do need ancillary services. You need to do trading. We are not targeting 4 hours. Putting all together on an optimal level of CapEx, we can get that high single digit, which is what we expect in the UK. Talking about the US, why the US? Well, they need plenty of energy, right? That's very clear. So I think even if the current administration was really against renewables and energy transition and all that stuff, the truth is that according to some estimations, the US needs like 100,000 megawatts per year of new energy just for the AI, just for the data center industry. And it has to be solar, and it has to be solar and BESS. That's very clear because, wind projects, they have their own problems. They will, new gas turbines, they're going to need, they're giving delivery dates for 5, 6 years from now, and still in many cases are not competitive with against again. So that's why, whether the administration likes or not, it's happening. And finally, the tariffs, they have not been that bad. It's okay. We're now considering 25% of tariffs for some components we're bringing from Europe that we didn't have before, mainly trafos from Siemens or inverters, converters from Power Electronics in Spain or in the team, or we're using a lot of European, the rest of components are made in the US, so no tariffs at all. So there is an impact, but again, we are seeing like higher PPA prices that it's compensating, like $10, $15 higher than before. So I don't know. All in all, I think it's a market with its own dynamics, but I think we are a lot more optimistic with the market. But again, we want to make sure we make no mistakes and we do the things at the right time. So we have moved these three projects, only these three projects on the pipeline to backlog. And, well, we think it's more than enough to meet our expectations for this market for 2028, maybe.
Okay, next question and the last from Alantra, Fernando Lafuente. Please go ahead.
Buenos días. Good morning, everyone. Just two quick ones from my side. The first one is on CapEx. David, what is your outlook of CapEx for this year in absolute terms and also for 26? How heavy should look the year in terms of investments? And the second one, it's a follow-up on capital allocation and your comments you made before. You are a buyer in certain markets. Could you consider also disposals at some point, and what would be the main candidates to be sold? And in that strategy, potentially similarly like other players, could you consider adding partners to the development? I'm thinking of probably Greenbox, but in any other of your asset portfolios. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fernando. Okay, when you say CapEx, well, it's in the end of September, we are above 700. I think we will, if be, at the end of the year, we'll be close to 1 billion, if not more. It really depends on the execution speed now of Elena and Gabriela, right? So that's, and I think next year we will be above 1 billion. So, you know, the guidance we're giving is 3.5 billion for 3 years. And I think we will somehow accelerate from this year. And I think eventually there are opportunities for acceleration, but I think whenever we give the guidance for 2028, we will give you the figure. But well, we are so happy at the speed of execution. I think very few companies are executing more than 1 billion of new CapEx per year. We're on the level of a different league. Yeah. I don't think you can compare Greenergy with some peers in and the third, but you have to compare this with larger companies that are investing in generation. If you are not considering networks, very few companies are investing above 1 billion. And I think we might be one of the companies in the world which is investing more in storage, right? Because more than 2/3 are either standalone or hybrid plants, the storage part of the plants. Disposals, well, we've got, again, very clear opportunities in countries like that are not that strategic, like Colombia, and type of assets that are distribution assets. So we might see a deal in Colombia soon. We might see a deal in PMGDs in Chile, where we still have 200. So we are working on it. And, well, if there might be, you know, our team keeps bringing opportunities in Chile. So we might see if any of the platforms, whether it's the Northern platform Oasis or Central Oasis, increases, might be an opportunity for more disposals. I'm not expecting anything in the very short term, but we might see also opportunities for disposal there, right? We also have in Spain a Jora plan, which is the last PV plan. You know, we transfer all the others. Well, we have Scuderos, but we are hybridating that one. But Ayora might be potentially a project that we might either hybridate and keep it in a balance sheet, or if there's good opportunity for rotation, we might also go ahead. And bringing partners and investors to Greenbox, I think it's, I don't think it's necessary at the moment. We have 350 million in cash in our balance sheet, plus, you know, all the rotations that we're getting. So that's more than enough to remain independent, approaching our Greenbox and platform. and go at full speed. If at one point we do see that it brings really value, bringing in like a partner for 49% or whatever for one particular market or all the platform, that's always a possibility. But I think we want to see how we're going to execute. We're going to execute first and talk later, right? So I think it's something that we've always been doing pretty well. So I don't think it makes any sense for us to plan to close a partnership when we have plenty of cash to do it ourselves.
Okay. Thank you very much, all of you, for attending, and see you in late February with our full year results presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.